Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
Hey, did we actually have a theme song there?
Yes, we, Rodri, we do. You know,
I'm so excited.
You
We're
just have
professional
to tell me.
Now.
You know, I learn fast.
Wow, theme song. I know you know this, so again, preaching to the choir here, but that theme song was orchestrated by Maestro Enrique Escalante. Shout out to him out in Monterrey, Mexico. The original theme song for Mariachi USA, I wrote a music letter, and Jose Hernandez did the arrangement, who also was the first music director of Mariachi USA back in 1990. But Enrique did a heck of a job orchestrating and recording our current theme song, and now we've got Mariachi Los Arrieros working on an updated version of it.
And the title of the song is "This Is Mariachi."
Exactly.
You probably aren't able to hear the lyrics because we're just doing little pieces of it to intro. But the lyrics talk about what is mariachi, and you wrote those lyrics, and you just captured, you know, the enchantment of the land and what the instruments symbolize.
Esto es mariachi, el ritmo de la tierra del son. Yes. Con sus trompetas, sus violines, el guitarrón. And, oh, my God. Yeah. Just saying those words gets to my heart. And that's part of the whole DNA that we're going to be talking about in upcoming podcast.
Of course. You know, when we prepare for the show, and for those who are just listening and hasn't really known what Mariachi USA is about, we're about to get into a little bit of what it is so you can understand where we're coming from when we speak about Mariachi USA. But every time, you know, that I've been a director for the past 20 years and working on the show, and it always gets me when I drop that song in for the opening video, you know, the 15th annual, the 16th, and it doesn't, every time it starts to hear that, I start to hear that song, I'm like, wow, it's happening again, this incredible show. But it's a great song. You did a great job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it goes back to, if you have that kind of feeling and you feel it in your veins and you feel it in your heart, you have Mariachi DNA. And, you know, we must touch a little bit on that DNA and how that DNA grows. Tiger, I know you happen to learn Spanish with singing Mariachi. And I know that there's a story behind that.
Well, you know, I'm a Texan, Tejano. I was born in San Antonio.
Tejano through and through.
Tejano, baby. Tejano, Spurs fan. I know I'm going to upset some people and get people excited.
Go Lakers.
Yes, that's where we're at.
We got a balance here.
Yeah. No, but, you know, growing up, my father, who was born in Texas also, but my grandparents came from Mexico. So my parents grew up speaking Spanish in the household. And when they went to school, they were Spanish speakers, but because of the history and of that time in our history, where it just wasn't accepted to speak Spanish in public schools, they were punished. You know, many I know a lot of people relate to this this part of their DNA. You know, their cultural DNA, and I was not taught Spanish in growing up. Because my parents didn't want me to have the same struggles they did in school. So no, I was one of those and one of many.
That was embarrassed probably when the parents played it in the car.
Of course. I was like, thanks, Dad, for playing the mariachi music very loud when you pick me up from school in the car, because we have no air conditioning, so the windows are down. And
I could just imagine your dad thinking, "Porque sigo siendo el rey."
Yeah, but you know what? It's what made me today. You know, mm-hmm. if it wasn't for all of that, you know, to really understand and appreciate what it took to get here, and that's just my story, and your story that we heard earlier. And here is the world's greatest stage, you know, and we say it's the world's greatest music because it's so loved by everybody. You don't have to be a Mexicano to appreciate mariachi music or to love it. And our audience reflects that.
But you are the perfect role model of what Mariachi USA really is, Tiger, because when I created the name Mariachi USA and the festival, it was intended to showcase mariachis that live and work here in the United States. And it was to gift our audiences with the very musicians that they hire when they are born, mm-hmm. when that child is baptized, when that child turns 15, when that child gets married, when that child graduates from college, every single wedding celebration, a backyard barbecue, and sadly, eventually, that mariachi is hired to intern and say goodbye to our elders or to anyone in a family that passes. So mariachi becomes, unlike any other music genre, a part of your family.
Right.
They are there in your home, in your backyard. They show up acoustic. You don't even have to have microphones.
No electricity required.
No, the music. I mean, I know that there was a study done once that the vocal cords of mariachi are like none in the world. Because, I mean, on note and without missing a single note, they're singing without microphones.
Right.
And you can hear every single song. Right. It's almost like they have this automatic projection of a speaker that they carry around in their throat. And that enables them to really be there with you, taking, a ver, ¿qué quieren? A ver, ¿qué canción? ¿Qué canción? And it's like a living rockola of every song that you can ever imagine of mariachi has ever been written or played. And you live that because you happen to be the second violin of Mariachi Campanas de America.
Correct. The group that I've been with for, I've known since the beginning for 45 years. I was a good friend at the very beginning because I was a folklorico dancer. And so that was very much the partnership. Yeah, I tell people I was a male dancer in my youth. But, you know, shortly after, you know, Campana started, I joined, which has been over 40 years now. And it's an American story, you know, because Campanas is not a group that started in Mexico and transplanted. It started like many of the groups that are featured, like many of the musicians that are Mariachi USA today, which, by the way, is a music festival, music fest, 4.5-hour amazing concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
Sometimes we really push the envelope and we're like, oh my God, it's 5 minutes to 11. Yeah. We have to be out.
Being an American, and I'm proud to say I'm an American. You know, I don't pick sides of the border. You know, because music has no borders, and we'll go into this magical place that we feel like we're a part of later. But you know, you talked about building. You know, this. What people don't understand about mariachi, like the vocal and the musicality and stuff. And I have to say publicly, if it weren't for you and others who have elevated our art form, people will still think that we don't know how to really sing or how to perform or how to play or even consider us musicians. You know, they would still consider us jesters or clowns or minstrels. But they would never say we're musicians. But I can say after 35 years of being at the Mariachi, at the Hollywood Bowl performing in that venue, we're musicians, baby. You know, there's no doubt about it. So thank you for, you know, that, you know, your story earlier, and for, I always say, creating that space. I never stop saying you created that space. But going back to Campanas, it's an incredible thing to be a part of a group. And for so long. And it's not a story, it's just not my story. There's hundreds of groups that musicians have the same story.
Campanas de America was founded by an amazing woman who left us this last year in 2023, Belle Ortiz. and we're going to be doing an upcoming podcast on her.
Yes, it was founded by she's credited for starting mariachi education
in
the public schools, and it was also started by her husband Juan Ortiz.
Yes,
who's the musical director of Mariachi Campanas de America,
and she produced the very first mariachi festival in San Antonio.
She did. She went and found Vargas, Mariachi Vargas, the world renowned, the world's greatest. And she brought him into San Antonio and say, teach, teach, teach. And that's how it all started. That's how many of us learned the traditional, pure way of playing mariachi.
And we will keep her name alive. And people must know that that's where it all began. And that is the nest of the genesis of mariachi in the United States. Of course, Campanas is going to be featured at the show on Saturday, October 8th at the Hollywood Bowl this year, our 35th.
June 8th.
Don't confuse me.
Wait, I'm like, we have a second show on October?
Wait a minute. Did I actually say October?
I believe you did.
Okay, rewind.
And so, yes, Campanas.
Yes. Campanas is one of the groups that will be featured Saturday, June 8th at the Hollywood Bowl, celebrating 35 years at our home here in the United States, which is the Hollywood Bowl. But we also have Los Camperos, used to be Los Camperos en Aticano, and so many LA citizens and visiting, you know, tourists would go to the famous La Fonda to hear Nati. Nati launched the concept of mariachi show with dinner at La Fonda, and boy, that place was packed, not only with people celebrating birthdays and et cetera, but the Japanese tourists, the buses would... Japanese love mariachi.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to see that the Japanese and all the Asian community also shows up at the Hollywood Bowl for Mariachi USA. But Los Camperos...
Iconic, legendary.
Naticano left it to Don Chuy Guzman. And Chuy Jr. manages the group now and is doing a heck of a job of marketing the group. However, you were mentioning to me that some of the Camperos musicians are now, you know, they came from Texas.
Well, you know, mariachi groups, you know, they don't all have like a limited lifespan. The culture, like DNA, you know, it has to continue. And so in that continuation, new blood comes in, you know, with the same model, with the same attitude, with the same branding. And it's exciting to see that there's some young ones from Texas that are in Los Camperos now. And
There's three
from San Antonio, two from the Valley.
From McAllen.
Yeah. And they're sons of people, of musicians that have performed at the Bowl before with
Mariachi Los Arrieros.
Yes, yes.
Out of McAllen, Texas.
Miguel Guzman performed with Los Camperos and Campanas there. And now his son Antonio's with Los Camperos. Alex Jr.'s with Los Camperos. Oscar Garza, his son, Oscar Garza Jr., is also Mariachi Festival in San Antonio. So it's just incredible to see...
continuity of tradition.
Yeah, yeah. And my standing ovation for Los Camperos and for Don Chuy for, you know, keeping the tradition alive and keeping it strong.
And an immense pleasure to have them back on our stage. Yes. And then we have Mariachi Cobre, who were the original Changuitos Feos out of Arizona, Texas.
Yes.
And then got hired by Disney to be featured at Epcot Center, and they've been there for such a long time.
I'm always in awe, and just like they have a gig that gives them health insurance. I mean, the mouse takes great care of them. I mean, I'm so happy for them. Yeah, I'm so happy for, and it goes to show, you know, and it's also a great example for the young musicians now. It's like, where can it take me? Where can mariachi take me? When we teach mariachi to the young ones, we don't say, you're going to be a mariachi musician now. That's it. No, it gives other avenues of education, whether you're a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, whatever it is, a school superintendent. But there are those places out there to make mariachi your livelihood through education. You can be a professor. You can get, you can play at a place like, you know, Epcot, and live your life there and entertain and continue the tradition of mariachi. So it's a great example that Cobre has given to all of us.
And Cobre can't always get off. You know, Disney doesn't let them go.
No. It takes,
to go tour. And so it's such a treat to be able to. Disney said, what? You're going to mariachi? Said, thou here with bowl? Yes. You may go to that.
And, you know, the voices of Cobre, you know, they're part of their training is being classically trained by opera singer.
Stephen Carrillo was his, all his vocal training was operatic, and he will bring the house down as he does. I mean, one of my favorites is Granada.
Right.
And I always ask him, could you please play that for me? And from my dad, who's listening from way up there. And you will all get to enjoy Steve Carrillo.
Yes, they'll all be there. All their Cobre glory.
Yes. And then Los Reyes, we were talking about, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit with mariachis, that old, you know, adage of saying son chamberos. You know, you just pick them up in the corner and just pay them $10 and bring them home, and they'll play whatever. Those days are over. You know, I'm so glad that, you know, the pay scale has, you know, has been raised, and it's a very different world. But Los Reyes is a perfect example of the entrepreneurial spirit. Jorge Alvarez bought his first restaurant a few years ago, and he bought his second one, Fiesta Mexicana, and is doing quite well.
Yeah,
and
you know,
his wife is his partner, and together, and his mother is also involved, so it's become a family business.
We have our resident mariachi dog doing a grito.
Yes.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Her name is Mia.
We do gritos here. We go, ahua, arf. She wants to hear a song.
She wants attention.
You know, the thing, the story that I love about Jorge is that he started out as one of the foundation kids. And you want to say a little bit more about what that is, because I think that's an incredible testament to what Mariachi USA has produced.
Thank you, Tiger. Yes, Mariachi USA Foundation, and we'll talk much, much more about it later on. But I founded Musa, as we call it, Musaf, in 1991. And I wanted to immediately, I began providing grants to grammar middle schools to start after-school programs. And lo and behold, there was a program that already existed, one program in all of Los Angeles, and it was at North Ranchito School. And the principal happened to be a friend of mine, a current friend of mine, Gloria Lopez, Principal Gloria Lopez. And the little, you know, they were like 7, 8, 9 years old. And I was so moved by them. I invited them to the very first fundraiser we had at Plaza de la Raza. And the foundation has been operating ever since. We provide grants to schools to support their educational program. It's no longer where it used to be 34 years ago. Now there's full-blown programs in the schools. I learned a lot from Belle Ortiz, whom we spoke of earlier. And I also gave grants a couple of years in San Antonio, and we did it down on the river, remember, on the Riverwalk. And it's a privilege to put in my little granito de arena to educate our youth so that they can become, again, it's being a successful whatever you choose to be. We don't push you to be a mariachi musician. We encourage you to be successful beings, to have a full-rounded spirit so that you can be successful at whatever you choose to be. And Jorge was indeed one of the students of the foundation, as was Carlos Parra from Mariachi
Los Toros.
He has his own recording studio now.
Very successful.
He has his own group and it's, I mean, we can go on and on and on.
Yeah. But I just love when I'm, you know, working the stage and a musician who I might have known like in passing, but not really know personally, would come to me and say, I performed here when I was a student. And it happens maybe 5 times every year that somebody says, I performed here when I was a student. And now they're professional groups and they're top tier. And so another kudos to another great success on that end.
And I was going to say, I'm not wearing waterproof mascara, but I'm not wearing mascara at all because I was going to put on makeup today. And I said, wait a second. Anthony says, why are you getting all made up? This is a podcast. Nobody's going to see you.
Well, you're Rodri.
But no, I don't have my bling on. Another quite phenomenal group that we are featuring this year, celebrating 25 years of being successful mariachi musicians, is Cindy Shea, Mariachi Divas. As you know, yes. They've won, they've been nominated like 14 times for Latin Grammy and Grammy, and they've won, I believe, 3 or 4 times. This is one of those musicians with that entrepreneurial spirit, has her own recording studio, is constantly producing albums. She was just signed by Warner Music.
Congratulations on that. That's an incredible feat.
Bravo, kudos. Yeah. And she will be breaking the record in having 25 musicians. She's bringing the entire guard since she began. So all of you are in for such a treat to see from the inception of Mariachi Divas to current.
Yes.
I, for one, cannot wait. We worked putting together a music list. I know you're jelly. You weren't around that night. But we spent 3 or 4 hours going through music and just singing the tunes. And how about this? And what if we put this here? And how about if we do a medley here? And what should we really do that song now? Let's kill that. Let's do this other one. Da-da-da-da. And I'm not a drinker, but, you know, they brought a fabulous bottle of tequila that I sipped on just to invoke.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, we're always invoking, you know, the great spirits.
It's liquid incense.
To come on down. You got it. I love that. Liquid incense.
It's liquid incense just to get your spirit rolling and to connect.
Coño, le diste en el clavo en la cabeza. That's a Cuban saying. But indeed, we are going to be working with Cindy to do a kick-ass show.
You know, I have to say this because as director, you know, Rodri, you know, kind of says, we're going to go this direction, we're going to do this, and then, you know, and then my part is to make it work. And if you don't know this about Rodri, she is a jokester. She will prank you. She's been doing it to me for 35 years.
Damn it. Why did you give it up?
Yeah, no. I got to say, because, and then when she says, and Diva's going to have 25 members. Now, traditionally, we have 14 at the most, maybe 16.
Well, Jorge did 17 last year between the trombone and the no sé qué cosa.
And then when you said 25, I had to really think, are you pranking me? But then, and then I remembered it was Divas, and I know they're incredible, and they have such a rich history. They're the hardest working, you know, female mariachi that I've worked with. They don't stop. And so, yeah, it's going to be something to see to have all those divas up there.
And boy, she plays a mean trumpet. You know, she plays trumpet
She's started as a member of a group that performed at Mariachi USA in the early years.
Correct.
So she's been on stage not as a diva, as a director, but she's as a part of a member of a mariachi performance. So it's really cool to see that story of coming back. You know, not just a member, but now a director and a Grammy Award winning and stuff. So.
Indeed. And on our podcast featuring mariachi women, mm-hmm. She will definitely be a guest. And
yes.
We will be also talking to the current director of Mariachi Mujer 2000 that Laura Sobrino founded. And, I mean, this goes off. It's like this giant, beautiful oak that has all these branches, and it branches mm-hmm. to this and to
yep.
that. And it's untouchable. And that's why it's Puro Mariachi podcast, because that's all you're going to get here.
Yeah, yeah.
The richness of what has happened and how mariachi has transitioned from the very first group that came to the United States, Mariachi Chapala here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which was the father of José Hernández,
Don Chencho, Esteban. Yeah.
Hernández, Pedro Rey,
yep.
and Chuy
yeah.
as well. But getting back to our show, Mi Tierra Ballet. It was so important that first year, Tiger, and I know that you personally loved it because we had ballet performance.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, the mariachis were like, well, we don't want to back. You know, the mentality was, we don't want to back dancers. We're there to perform, not to back dancers. But it isn't that. I, as a producer, look at dancers as an embellishment, un adorno, un moño, something beautiful and colorful. And it is so culturally enriching to see, you know, the dance along with mariachi. It's
right.
It's just the full experience. And that stage, I mean, you've got a 60-foot wide stage. It just lends itself to doing that.
Well, the folklorico dancers are in themselves artists and athletes and deserving to be on a stage of that
absolutely.
Caliber. You know, but we go together, you know, like that Grease song, you know. You know, we go, you know, mariachis and folklorico dancers go together. we are one.
Frijoles y arroz.
That's what we are, you know. So yeah, it's always beautiful to see, to share the, you know, share the stage that way and to represent. And that's the bottom line is, you know, we're representing something that is, you know, Mexico, that is our land, that is our culture, that is our art, you know, and it's so rich, you know.
Well, ironically enough, the ballet that will be featured this year is Mi Tierra Ballet.
Yeah.
And they've been with us 20 years. They were on tour last year and they weren't able to be with us. But our director, Flo, whom we cariñosamente call Prima.
My Prima, because she's last name Medrano. Medrano.
Exactly.
So I see Medrano and I see Primo, Prima, you know.
Yeah, she's our ballet director, and we'll be celebrating with them as well. And then, of course, what can I say about our spectacular fireworks finale? We have the sing-along of El Rey, Volver, Viva México, La Negra. Sing-along, Tiger. You know what... It's crazy. It's crazy. You can't pin it, and that's why it's DNA, because it's that emotional DNA that you just can't describe it. It's truly experiential, indescribable. You have to be there to live it.
Right, right.
There's nothing else. You can't describe it.
Right.
And when you look out in the audience and you see everyone standing and singing and with their phones and the fireworks are going off and they're shooting across the stage, it's just too much.
Well, you know, when you just...
No. Thinking about it.
Take a breath. I'll take it from here. You know, when you just listen to mariachi music, it's internal. You know, it's inside you, and you connect, and you whether you throw grito or not, or you sing along, you know, it's pretty much comes from inside. But when you go into that space of mariachi, say at the Hollywood Bowl, all of a sudden it's external. It hits all the senses. It's your eyes, your ears, your smell, your taste. I mean, it's like being in the womb of Mexico. You know, you're just like you're covered, you're protected, you're safe, you're home. You know, you're with the mother culture, and
it's, you're just in the Hollywood Hills.
And the Hollywood Hills, and it's beautiful. And this is, we're not talking about a couple of cuetes, like the sparklers, you know. This is a full-blown, you know, 5-7 minute, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of, you know, pyro.
And actually the company is Pyro Spectaculars, who are credited with doing all the spectacular 4th of July exhibits that you see all over the world. And... I'm proud that they're a part of our team. Nothing but the best for our fans.
And it's just like the icing on the cake when you see those letters, you know, light up over the bowl that say Mariachi USA at 10:30, 10:45 at night, when it's just this.
Sometimes 10:50.
10:50. I push it now. I'll never go past 11. Then I'm fired. But,
you know, people should know why we don't go past 11. It's that the Hollywood Bowl was built on... it's LA County property, but it's in the hills. It's nestled in the hills of Hollywood. And the homeowners, you know, have this rule that you cannot go past 11 o'clock. And our very first year, we'll talk about that in the podcast further, but the very first year, because groups were, you know, outdoing themselves, we ran over. And it cost me $15,000. And $15,000 in 1990 would have bought me a new car.
Yeah.
And that's it. Out of the box office. Nobody cared. Nope. You signed a contract. There's a penalty. Boom, se acabó. And there goes $15,000. Oh, my God.
Well, we're going to get into those stories in future podcasts. And
there he goes, shutting me down again.
Yeah, no, we people have things to do.
I'm
sure.
In check.
They're like, I need to go pick up my kid. But I want to finish listening to this podcast. So we need to let them go do what they want to do, and they can catch our next podcast.
All right. So then basically, we want to invite you to this year, 2024, our 35th anniversary, Mariachi USA Hollywood Bowl, Saturday, June 8th. You can purchase your tickets at mariachiusa.com. You can go to the bowl box office as of May 7th. And you can picnic. You bring in your own food and eat while you watch the show. You can... bring in your own soft drinks, just not in cans or glass. You cannot bring in alcohol, which, you know, a little side point here. People say, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of borrachos, and that's why they're... And it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, the Hollywood Bowl serves beer, wine, and champagne. you are not allowed to bring in hard liquor. You cannot bring in your tequila. You cannot do all that crazy stuff. And we have such an amazing, well-behaved audience. Mm-hmm. No son lindas borracheras, no, para nada. No. It's families and las comadres, you know, it's a ladies' night out. 69% of our audience is female, whether they're Latinas, non-Latinas, non-Mexicanas, Latinas, Mexicanas, you name it. And it's not because they go check the guys out, you know, it's like, yeah, well, they like the cute guys in the tight pants. No, it's not. They love sharing mariachi, the tradition of the music and the getting together. And, you know, there's so many millennials, and whatever comes after millennials, our audiences are getting younger and younger. They know they're going to get 5 hours of pure, unadulterated, puro mariachi. The turntable, you know, I want you to talk about that real quick before we go away. But oh my God, the colorful dresses that they wear, and los hombres con sus guayaberas, los sombreros, everybody's dancing. It's just one huge family of 18,000 friends.
And it's a continuous party. You know, if you go to the bathroom, you'll miss part of the party. That's just the rules, because we don't stop. We have a rotating stage. So
halftime jam.
We have a halftime jam. But when one group ends, the next group starts. And, you know, we don't stop to say we need to go change the stage. We'll be right back. If we ever say we'll be right back, and Mariachi will say something is wrong, because we don't go away. We stay there and entertain you for the full show.
Actually, even when the sound gets blown out, which we blew out the entire... That's another show. We'll talk about that, but we did blow out.
I don't like
out.
To talk about that, but yeah, we should talk about it
we
later.
We did blow out, and you know what? The show continued even after we blew out all the woofers at the bowl. That was historical.
But you'll hear that story later, and many, many more. Many, many more.
I will mention that there is limited parking in the Hollywood Bowl because it is a residential area. So plan ahead. You can go to hollywoodbowl.com, click on Mariachi USA, and that will take you to all the different parkings that are available. So we will see you Saturday, June 8th.
And real fast, you know, get your tickets as soon as possible, because they do go.
Well, that's another magical thing. We put the tickets on sale the night of the show. So all of our higher priced tickets are sold out before we even leave the Hollywood Bowl.
Right.
And sometimes we don't have the date for the following year, and people don't care.
Right.
People plan their lives. The month of June, people plan around whatever date Mariachi USA is. Do you know how humbling that is for all of us?
Oh, yeah.
Who just, you know, we show up to do the very best show that we can, because our fans are second to none. Our LA fans that come, not just LA fans, fans that come from all over the United States and from Mexico, and even I've had people from the Netherlands order tickets. So definitely plan ahead to get your tickets. And then you can go to mariachiusa.com and see all of the do's and don'ts and see a little bit about the entire experience. You can get there at 12 noon. There's our sponsors are sampling foods and noodles and you name it. And you'll definitely see us there.
Right.
I'm the one that comes out and enters the group every once in a while. And no nonsense. It's next group. We run a very tight ship. We start at 6 p.m. and we end as close to 10:45 as we can.
We do. So if you don't have your tickets yet, get your tickets, because we always have the sold out sign on the marquee by the end of the showtime, and we don't want you to miss. But you know, call our number and look us up online and get your tickets, and we'll see you there, right, Rodri?
Oh my God, this podcast exhausted me. Hey, thanks for joining us at Mariachi USA. And if you sing El Rey, you have Mariachi DNA. Mariachi. Mariachi. Pasión y tradición. Pasión y tradición. Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.